This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's investment season. Okay, investment season might be a little bit of a stretch, but as we hurtle towards the RRSP deadline at the end of February, you might find yourself thinking about personal finances and perhaps a few new investment strategies. We've previously spoken with personal finance columnist Aaron Broverman about the rise of cryptocurrency, but what about crypto as an investment strategy? Well, Aaron's here to talk about ways in which Bitcoin and cryptocurrency are being bundled into ETFs. Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thank you for making the time.
Good morning, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
So, Aaron, before we completely dive into the pros and cons of these exchange-traded funds, what is a Bitcoin ETF?
A Bitcoin ETF is basically a regular ETF in every sense of the word, except that instead of following stocks and commodities and being indexed to, say, the S&P 500, it's following and tracking the price of Bitcoin.
So these kinds of ETFs, what was the timeline in terms of them being given regulatory approval, whether it be Canada or the U.S.?
Basically, the U.S. just approved them in about October. There's one Bitcoin ETF that's available in the U.S. and Canada has had them and approved them since about 2020.
Now, there are a few big ones that are on the market that have existed. Can you give us a snapshot of some of their characteristics?
Basically, it functions like the same way an ETF would. There's one called the Purpose Bitcoin ETF from Purpose Investments. This was the first one that came on the market in February of 2020. It's the first one that happened in Canada. And, you still pay the MER fees and the management fees like you would for any other ETF investment. And you can still get them into your eligible accounts like your RRSPs or your RDSPs or your TFSAs.
So that's, I think, one of the big considerations there, right? That we can get them onto those main platforms. But what about actually the act of actually trading or buying or selling the ETF? Can we do that on, say, like a Questrade, a BMO, InvestorLine, TD Direct? Not to give those particular products an advertisement on the show.
Absolutely. Because Bitcoin ETFs are still ETFs, they're traded on regular stock exchanges like the TSX. So therefore, they are available on, self-directed investment platforms like you mentioned, like BMO InvestorLine and Wealthsimple and Questrade. Or you could even get your investment advisor to get you one and purchase some on your behalf or your stockbroker, because they are available for purchase through a regular stock exchange as opposed to a cryptocurrency exchange.
Right. So that leads me into my next question, because I can tell there's a certain simplicity there, right? More for the casual investor to go through this. So are there some advantages to these ETFs over just, say, buying a Bitcoin directly?
Yeah, there's some big advantages. It's more mainstream. So if you're not really educated on Bitcoin and you don't really care to learn, you can get a Bitcoin ETF, the same way that you get like a regular stock. So it's much simpler that way. Also, you're kind of shielded from all of the risks of the regular currency. You don't have to store the Bitcoin. The fund does that for you. You don't have to keep it safe from hackers. The fund does that for you as well. So you can basically invest in Bitcoin and enjoy all the ups and downs of this new thing in the financial markets without having to worry about managing the currency itself yourself.
Aaron, you hit one of the key words there, ups and downs, because we've seen quite a bit of volatility for Bitcoin in the market. Even in the last week or so, we've seen some. So as an investment strategy, not that we're necessarily investment advisors, but is the volatility perhaps the biggest concern that someone should be thinking about as using crypto as an investment vehicle?
I would say so, because even though you're shielded from the ups and downs of the currency directly and you're only investing in Bitcoin indirectly, the problem with the volatility when you have an ETF is sometimes the ETF that you have isn't accurately tracking the price of Bitcoin. So you could find a delay in what you're seeing in terms of the price of Bitcoin on your ETF and what the actual price is, just because, you know, the price could change from one moment to the next. So it's not an up-to-the-minute thing, which could affect your decision as to how you manage your own ETF and make investment decisions, because you're not seeing what the actual price of Bitcoin is, because it's so volatile that it's become inaccurate from your standpoint.
Aaron, what about some other drawbacks? Because I think the advantages you mentioned certainly make a lot of sense. Mainstream, kind of maybe a little bit less maintenance on our end in terms of storing the cryptocurrency. But are there some other drawbacks we should be mindful of before we start to put in our hard-earned money into these Bitcoin ETFs?
Well, you can't trade a Bitcoin ETF for other cryptocurrencies. Like, you can't change a Bitcoin ETF into an Ethereum ETF, for example. So if you want to really get into like the currency, that's not an option for you. You also, like I mentioned before, must pay management fees and MERs like a regular ETF. The MERs could be capped at like 1.5%. And the management fees, you know, the lowest I've seen is about 0.40%, but nonetheless, they still exist. Also, there's some like philosophical things that are drawbacks, because if you believe in the fact that Bitcoin is decentralized, this is basically centralizing it. And nobody knows really how all this mainstream investment will affect the price of the currency itself. So that's something you should be aware of.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. When investment firms start jumping into this market, all of a sudden it starts taking away that philosophical component that a lot of proponents of Bitcoin stand by. Hey, Aaron, just before we let you go, because you were coming on the show today, for the Daily Poll, I actually put up a personal finance question for folks. And I'm curious, from your perspective, how often do you evaluate your personal finances, whether it be the bank fees you're paying, your investments, your credit cards, your budget, etc.? How often do you find yourself doing that?
I do it quarterly, particularly in terms of like my income and where I want to be in the next year. But yeah, definitely quarterly. And my investment advisor, you know, whether I like it or not, you know, sends me something every month, so I can choose to look at it or not. But for me, I think every quarter is often enough to evaluate your investments.
Absolutely. Hey, Aaron, always great chatting with you. Thank you for making time for us this morning. Always interesting to dive into the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin world. Have yourself a great day, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
You too, Dave. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.